This is Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. Welcome. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features fun, fascinating stories about people in the performing arts, actors, authors, dancers, writers, musicians, athletes, you name it. Folks who are center stage, backstage, on camera, or behind the scenes. Sit back and listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a proud production of the Foul Players Group and the official podcast of the Foul Players of Perryville.
Hey, Mary Jo Peel here, and you are listening to Foul Players Radio.
Hello, this is John Piette.
Kevin Schmidt.
And Jerry Bozick.
And we're August, the little band from Virginia. You're listening to Michael Spedden on Foul Players Radio.
Hi, this is Paul Castiglia, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio, the one-stop shop for all your pop culture needs.
This is Just Bill.
This is Rat Bastardson.
And this is Joe Poodle from Red Dye Number 9, and you are listening to Foul Players Radio.
And folks, welcome back to another episode of Foul Players Radio. My name is Michael Spedden. Tonight, we welcome Jill Redding to Foul Players Radio. Jill just celebrated a major milestone, celebrating her 80th birthday on January the 6th. We had a nice little interview, took a nice trip down memory lane, talking about memories of her career, which goes back nearly 75 years. It all started when she was a five-year-old performing comedy skits with her sister in movie theaters in Washington, D.C. on Saturday mornings to television and movie roles later on in life in productions such as Homicide, Life on the Street, Comedy of Horrors, Volume 1, Game Change, and perhaps her best-known role as Dolores the Barmaid in The Wire. We discussed those memories from her career, and we had a few actor friends stop by. Rika Boya, Michelle Mullins, Kendra Kaiser, Eleni Densmore, Karen Lucis, Robert Lovett, and John Orlando from the PVD cast came by. Jill and I work very closely together with our murder mystery companies. When Herb Otter, retired Otter Productions, we both got half of the company. And we work together quite a bit. You know, we cast each other in our shows and we work with the same group of actors, and it's going very well. And I was glad to have her celebrate her 80th birthday with us. It was wonderful. Jill has a couple of links that you'll see in the show notes. One is to her murder mystery company, her JR Entertainment Facebook page, and also her IMDb page, where you can see the rest of her credits and her reels and everything else. The Foul Players of Perryville will be performing on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad on Monday and Tuesday, February 13th and 14th, 2003. The show is going to be Curse of the Scroll, and events are available at www.wmsr.com. For more information on the Foul Players of Perryville, you can follow our website, www.foulplayersofperryville.com, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll be right back with Jill Redding and friends right after these words.
Hi, this is Kim of Kim's Crypt, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio.
Hi, this is Bud Becker, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio.
And welcome back to another episode of Foul Players Radio. And tonight, a good friend of mine is joining us tonight as our guest, Jill Redding. Jill has just recently hit a milestone in life, and we're here to celebrate that tonight. Jill, do you want to tell us what it is?
Well, I put socks on today.
Okay.
I just turned 80 last week on January the 6th.
Congratulations, Jill, on your 80th birthday. And
I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, good. That's the way to be, you know. That's the way to be, you know. We all live to hit, 80. That is enjoy it, love it, embrace it, you know.
Hitting some more dates. This is not the end.
Right. Well, it's great to have you on, and we have a little party planned for you later on here, a little virtual party where we're going to have some friends and fellow performers visit and everything. So,
are they people that like me?
Not all of them. Oh, okay. the good part about this is that I told them to come on to Zoom. So when they throw tomatoes, it's just going to hit their computer and not you.
Exactly. And yes. I don't know why people threw tomatoes anyway. That's kind of nasty.
That is kind of rough. So Jill, you know, I've gotten to know you over the past 6 or almost 7 years now.
Wow.
From performing, you know, with Otter Productions, which evolved into the Foul Players of Perryville and JR Entertainment. And, you know, I've had you on before, was a part of the group, you know, talking about your days on the wire. And we'll talk a bit about that here. But tell us a bit about where this came from. You know, I mean, you have been doing this long before The Wire was out, long before Homicide. Your first taste of showbiz, and I guess where would you have gotten bitten by the bug?
I started out in showbiz. I was not a dancer, so I didn't take dance classes.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was a writer, and he would write comedy sketches for my sister and I.
Okay.
So I was first on the stage at about age 5.
Wow.
I was still living in Washington at the time, and they had movie theaters had a stage on the front of them, in front of the screen. They don't
do
that much anymore. But so Janet and I used to do comedy sketches on Saturday mornings. My father would take us to various movie theaters. Now, I don't know if there was pay involved or anything like that. But we did that. And then we moved to Montgomery County, and we did it for a couple more years. I guess I did it till I was maybe 9 or 10.
Okay. Now, was this something that they did? I know Saturday mornings, you know, I guess back in the 40s and 50s at the time, it was basically, you know, where the kids went. And they had the serials playing, you know, the Rocket Man, Superman. I guess, would you go up there before the shows started?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did our shows before the movies were on.
Oh, okay.
Probably 10 o'clock in the morning.
So sure.
I don't remember a lot of the audiences or anything like that, but it was fun. And our players group at the time, our community theater, had a junior players group. So every show that there was that had a child in it, I was in it. So I thought that when I was around 9 or 10, that holding the door open to the barn where we stored our sets and props was the greatest thing you could do on a Saturday morning. And I would hold that door open so that people could move stuff in and out. And then we'd go and take it to, I think it was the Kensington Elementary or Kensington Junior High School.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go there and put up the sets and do the shows. And I loved being in them. And then we moved to the Armory in Kensington. And that was kind of a little bit more of a permanent home. We got to store stuff at the back of the stage at the Armory.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that until I was in my early 20s. And then the theater moved from Kensington to Gaithersburg. And I had 2 little children, and I couldn't always go up and be in the shows. So right. There was a little bit of break there where I wasn't able to do any theater. And then we moved out here to Harford County, and I started up at the Edwin Booth Theater and did things there and at fundraisers for Tudor Hall. And then somewhere around, I guess I was in my maybe 30 or so, somebody gave me a paycheck for doing this. And I thought, oh, this is much better. I can do this. I can run around and be, I had to be older than 30 because I'm only 80 now. And I don't think I've been with anybody for more than about 30 years. So I guess I was a little bit older before somebody gave me a paycheck. I did a lot of background in movies. There was something published when we shut down The Wire, and it had all these movies that they'd done in Baltimore that I guess mostly that Pat Moran had been casting them for. And I was in about 30 of them when I checked off the list. So I did that for a number of years. And then somebody found me and asked me to be on a train. And my audition was, I was to go on this train and pretend to be a
newspaper reporter. Mm-hmm. So I ran up and down in the cars and pretended to be a newspaper reporter. And I got home and my husband said, well, did they hire you? And I said, I guess so. They gave me a paycheck.
Hey.
the rest is history. So we went from that train to another train, which was a much longer venue. And we started writing scripts that had plots, actual plots, and actual solutions to the murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with Herb Otter and Otter Productions. And I did that for a number of years. And I was on the boat for 14 years in the Inner Harbor, the Black Eyed Susan, and various places all over the state. And I do a show up in Pennsylvania that I've been doing for, well, it's 30 years now that I've been doing this murder mystery that I write two shows a year, that we pack the house. The inn can't hold any more people than mm-hmm. come. There's a waiting list now for the show in next March. And I think there's a waiting list for the show in November that I've written, but I don't think there's many rooms. Mm. So that's been basically it. And then I had a speaking role on Homicide Life on the Street. And that got me my SAG card and my first introduction to something called Crafty, which I had no idea what that meant. I did this movie on my birthday, and I thought it was 1997, but SAG says it was 1998. But that was the first speaking role that I had, and that was Homicide Life on the Street.
Yep, that was that was huge around here.
It was
really putting Baltimore in the spotlight, even though it was about homicide. Well, wasn't about something nice Baltimore's known for, but it did give a lot of people a lot of opportunities to get out and perform and to be in the, locally produced, nationally produced, big television show based in this region here. And that led to some other opportunities for you after that. You had mentioned, let's back up a second here. Tell the story about Craft Services, when you showed up on the set that morning.
Okay. Yeah. I went to the set and they had Mrs. Krebs's name on the trailer, which is really, you like to see that because it's got, they pull the tape off and put another name on after yours is pulled off, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was my name on the trailer. And they put me in the trailer. And they asked me what I wanted for breakfast from McDonald's. And I told them and they brought me breakfast. And then they took me out and to rehearsal. And I went to the rehearsal. Then they all left me standing in this backyard with a dog I didn't know that wanted to run around and pee on all the lighting boxes and things like that. And so when everything was over and I was walking through to leave, to go back to my trailer and get my purse, this woman said, would you like to stop by Crafty? Well, I didn't know what Crafty was, so I wasn't about to say yes. I said, well, no, I don't think so. I didn't know what Crafty was. And she said, well, there's a hamburger left. Do you want it? I said, yeah, I'll take it. And that was my introduction. That's when I realized that Crafty meant food.
yes.
And so everybody wanted, but I'd never heard it called Crafty. I had been on a number of movie sets where I'd get in line and somebody pushed me out of line and pushed me out of line. And finally somebody said to me, the crew has to eat first because we have to go back to work first. I'm not being rude. We just get to eat first. But I never heard it called Crafty.
Right.
So then I quickly figured out what Crafty was, at because Crafty meant I got the last hamburger. I don't know that anybody in that abandoned house was pleased that whoever this woman was who I hadn't seen all day came by and took their hamburger.
And I did. Yep. So, that's I've had the similar experience, you know, where, you know, they do say, you know, those guys have to get back to work first and they have to make sure everything's ready for when the actors come in.
Right.
And you're right about I've had the same experience. Nobody shoved me out of line or anything, but, you know, they did say something to me about that. So then we moved on to, The Wire. That's probably the part that most people would know you by. And so season two, you ended up having a part that you hadn't originally auditioned for, correct?
I did not audition for that role. I auditioned for the role of Nikki's mother.
Right.
And I had those lines and I went back to the callbacks. And this is something else I learned early on. If they see you and they get a callback, you better go back dressed the way they saw you the first time. That's what they wanted. And I also have this little habit. If it's something like Nikki's mother who's cooking in the kitchen, I sometimes would sleep in the clothes, at least the shirt the night before, so it was properly wrinkled when I got there. So I get there and nobody's there. I mean, no, the other people who are auditioning were there. And there was this one gal that I've always admired, and she had nice, long, fluffy red hair. And she was had a callback for the bartender. I said, oh, man, she's perfect for the bartender. Just look at her. And when I got there, they gave me sides for the bartender. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay. It was a simple line. Keep your shirt on, hoss. That was the line. So they all came back from lunch. We'd waited like an hour and they were in there and everybody was getting called in. And the people that are auditioning called back for the bartender went in. And I went in as Nikki's mother and gave the lines about, you know, not feeding a drunk from breakfast and stomping on the floor, waking him up. And I'm done. And Pat says, thank you, Jill. And I said, I stood up and the director said, no, she's reading for the barmaid. And Pat says, she doesn't have the sides. And I took the little piece of paper. I've told this story a million times. I'm holding it up. A piece of paper is flapping in the wind because I'm terrified. And so then they asked me to say the line and I did. And I got up and I left the room, thought I was going to throw up in the trash can. And about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call that said, we want to cast you as the barmaid, Dolores. And the rest is history. I did every episode but one. I was there every time they went to the bar. There I was, if I had lines or didn't. And people still remember me. My good husband said to me, I said, because he had been married to a woman that tended bar. And I said, do you have any advice? He said, yeah, it's your bar. You're in charge. Don't take any crap from anybody. Said, okay. And I didn't. And that was how Dolores emerged.
And I still have
fans to this day. I get free breakfast sometimes at places because they know I was on The Wire. They call me Hollywood. Like 20 years later.
The gift that keeps on giving, huh? You know,
yes, everybody likes, well, a lot of people, can't say everybody, but a lot of people like The Wire for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there were some other roles that you've, that we've seen you in as well. There was the other one. I believe it was called Game Changer. Was that correct?
Yes.
Title?
The Game Changer.
And what was that movie about? That was the about the 08 elections, correct?
Right. It was John McCain's run for the White House with Sarah Palin.
Right.
And there was a woman. Have I told you the story of me getting the phone call to do that role?
I don't know, but do tell.
Well, I was down visiting my friend Eileen in Arlington, which is where I seem to be a lot of times when I get called to turn up at a movie set, like three times that's happened. And I get a call from, and they said, look at the internet and look at a character called John McCain, Lady in Red. I said, okay. So we went down to Eileen's business center in her apartment building, and I brought it up, and this person was there on the screen going, yes. And I went, what do they want me to say in this audition? So I looked around and found another version. And the woman was talking to John McCain. She was at a town hall meeting. He handed her the microphone and she said, I can't trust Obama. I can't trust Obama. He's an Arab. And John McCain took the microphone back. And from that moment on in his campaign, he stopped being nasty and harsh. And they called that the game change because he changed his game plan after that incident. And they had the woman interviewed on some morning show one time talking about her. And then another time I saw it, they saying that that woman was the game changer. So I think of myself as that because they hired me on the spot. Well, not on the spot. I guess I got a phone call a day later, said, come in. I went in, auditioned again. I don't think there was anybody else that auditioned. They just wanted me in. And that was it. Gave me a red shirt.
And where was that filmed?
It was filmed in Baltimore, I guess in part in DC. I was at a college in Western Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
There was like bleachers and seats, and that's where the town hall meeting was.
Okay. Well, like maybe Coppin?
Maybe. I honestly just don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I know is I didn't hit anybody in the parking lot and kill them. And I got parked and got into the building. So
it was great. That's great. That's great. Yeah. I was, when you were just saying a college in West, I was just thinking it's probably either Coppin or CCBC, Community College of Baltimore City or something like that. So
I just don't remember, Mike.
Well, that's great because those were two really great parts, I thought.
You know,
I mean, watching The Wire, and believe me, you know, I'm a East Baltimore guy. That was more of a South Baltimore sit. But then again, it was near, well, that was an East Side kind of environment, you know, because it was, you know, people that worked at the Marine Terminal, Polish Highland Town. And I had seen that lady a thousand times when I was going out, you know, with years ago when we were younger, my friends and I, before we would go out to a more expensive place, we'd always go through a couple of the neighborhood family corner bars in Highland Town, grab a couple of cheap drafts before we headed out. And believe me, you were her. That was a were that lady, you know.
Well, I kind of did something that people don't normally do on The Wire, and that was go off script. And I did that quite by it just happened. I was supposed to say hell is you doing. And so hell is you doing. So I had that line down fine, and we'd rehearsed the thing many times, and the band hit a certain note just as I said what I said. And so it was my turn and the camera was on me, and my hell is you doing was nowhere in my brain at all. So I just proceeded to scream at Ziggy every obscenity I could scream at him. And then the room went completely dead quiet. And I said, oh, they're going to fire me. There's no doubt about it. I am gone. I am being replaced. And then the director started laughing and clapping his hands and was all excited. And the words came out of my mouth. What did I just say? And they had written them down and brought them to me, and we recorded it again. So that set Dolores's attitude, because the next scripts that came had lines crossed out and a more flowery language for Dolores and more of an attitude. So
that's awesome. I
appreciated that opportunity to do that. It's always going to be in my mind. And it helped that I'd already at that point had, you know, probably 10 years of improv comedy under my belt for me to be able to go off and be a character that people seem to like.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I like I said, I've seen all of those, you know, all of the things that we've talked about here, you know, Game Changer and the Homicide and The Wire. And I thought you did an excellent job. I mean, very well done, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. I did a scene with Veep, too. That was, that's on that list.
So speaking of improv, you know, something that you and I, you know, kind of do here in our twin sister companies.
Yes.
Here. it's funny.
Props and yeah.
Yeah, those of you who aren't familiar, you know, Jill and I, you know, we both took over half of Otter Productions when Herb decided to move on and do other things. We had both worked under Herb for a couple of years, and then, you know, Herb decided to pursue some other interests. So, out of the company, I ended up getting the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad venue. Jill ended up getting the Middletown Hummelstown Railroad and the Pride of the Susquehanna. And so kind of what we do is we both have our shows and our venues, and you know, we've added and you know had some venues come and go. But the one thing we always have before our shows is that conversation, because we use the same people, you know. You know, who do you have booked for this one? Which show are you doing this time? What prop do you want to use? You know, and we send a couple of bucks, you know, of course, up to Brad Crispin, who wrote a lot of the shows for Otter, and we still continue to use his shows. And we have some new ones that we've written as well. But that's a great, we have a good working relationship together. And of course, you know, you hire me, I hire you.
Yes. Not quite like incest, but we do, hire
exactly.
Each other. Yeah,
exactly. We do. And so I know that it's a little early in the season yet, but I know that as it stands right now, I mean, you're planning on going back to Middletown, Hummelstown, and the Pride of the Susquehanna.
I haven't heard from them yet, but this is the time of year that they contact me and ask me if I'm willing to come back. And yes, I am. In fact, I wrote a new show. I'm driving back from Cumberland before I got to Hagerstown. I had characters and most of the plot. So I have to put that down on, type that one up. Because that's how they come to us. And then we hand them over to our wonderful team of actors. And all of a sudden, they breathe life into it, and we are up and running. So
that's really the fun thing about having, because what do we have? I think we have about like 15, 20 people, and you know, we rotate the casts from time to time. And the thing that's really great is somebody always brings, no matter what character they're playing, somebody always brings something a little bit different and wonderful to that part. And, you know, a couple of people have asked me, like, you know, who's your favorite person playing the role that I'm in right now? I'm like, you know, there's really no objective way to answer that because everybody does it differently. You know, we may have a different, this character for that show, that character for that show. But the thing is, it's like what everybody brings to the table is unique and they have their own turn on it.
From everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, look what he just did over there. That's interesting. I'll use that later in another show someplace, but yeah.
right. But
no, we don't really, we have wonderful actors who, like you said, bring something. And you might play one character one night in a show and the same show the next night, you got to play somebody else.
Exactly.
It's, we have very, short scripts. We have the plot. We have what we have to do. And then we just go do it.
Exactly.
Every audience is unique. that they're always the sixth character in the show. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we use them as best we can.
We sure do. We sure do. And, you know, we've had a couple of moments with that, but for the most part, they've been positive. You know.
Oh yeah. I don't think we've thrown anybody off the train in years, have we?
No. There have been no big splashes or anything out. You know, nobody. No life jackets going into the Susquehanna after anybody. You know, no, for sure. No. But yeah. I think we've been very blessed with the people that we've had come through the ensembles. So far, I think we've had a really good group of people, and. I'm happy. I'm happy with this. I really enjoy working with who we have, and
I'm a little disappointed that now that I'm 80, I'm not being cast as the ingenue anymore. But that's the way life is. It just goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Jill, this is your birthday episode.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you, Jill. And if I could just be the first to wish you happy birthday. I just wanted to let you know that, since I've been working with you, I've really enjoyed, our working relationship, you and your experience, me having not been at this very long, I was always a local band guy, musician playing music, coming into acting, I've had a lot of people like, you, my wife Teresa, and a lot of people in the ensemble I've really been able to look to and learn a lot from, and take me to the woodshed from time to time too, but
not really. What we do in the spaces that we use mm-hmm. can be challenging at times.
It sure can,
because we're in a train car, and so sometimes it's a challenge to make sure that we can get from one end to the other. Everybody can hear us and mm-hmm. And duck the wait staff.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It can be tricky at times. So
it can. So, I think we do a good job.
Right. So, well, Jill, again, my warmest birthday wishes to you. And we have a few messages here. A friend of mine, a fellow podcaster, John Orlando, sent his birthday wishes. He was unable to join us for the show tonight, but we will play those in just a second here. You're listening to the Jill Redding 80th birthday episode of Foul Players Radio, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
This is A.D. Adams, and you are tuned in to Foul Players Radio with your host, Michael Spedden.
Yeah, hi, this is David Simmons from DC Star, and I am just encouraging all of you to tune in to Michael Spedden's show on Foul Players Radio, and love the rock and roll of the past and the art of the future.
Hi, everybody, Dwight Weems from Gaz the Fun Band. And you're watching and listening to Foul Players Radio.
Hi, it's John from the PVD cast. And I just wanted to say, Jill, happy birthday. It's an honor and a privilege to be here to give you those warm wishes. And I want to thank you so very much for the two times you appeared on the PVD cast. I thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. And, we talked about your career and your life and everything in between. And I just like to let you know that anytime you want to come back on, you have an open invitation. Just let me know. And I hope you have a very happy birthday. I hope it's surrounded by all the people that you love, your friends, your family, and whoever. And take care. And again, have a great birthday.
And we're back, and we have a number of friends that have joined us tonight to wish Jill a happy birthday. A number of us are Foul Players, and we have some Polar actors that have joined us for Polar Express out in Cumberland and gotten to know us, over the years too. So, Robert Lovett, one of our longtime Foul Players, and before that, and Otter Productions alumni. Welcome, Robert.
Hello.
And happy birthday, Jill. You know, I remember years ago when I started working with Jill, I just wouldn't shut up. And Jill very gently said, let other people talk. And she said this every once in a while by saying, Robert, shut up. And, so I finally got the message, I think. She does occasionally still tell me to shut up, but it's all in good fun. I now, if I'm the killer in a murder mystery, I will quickly confess. Matter of fact, I will go even farther than that, as she knows now. But before I was all, you know, this is an outrage and all that kind of stuff. And not letting anybody talk and just being loud and nasty. So I actually learned quite a bit from Jill, not just, you know, shut up, but but, you know, I learned some timing and I learned how to control a scene, learned how to control a scene with whoever I have the scene with. I owe a lot to Jill. Thank you, sweetie. Happy birthday.
That was very nice, Robert. Very nice. And, again, you were just kind of, from what you were saying, you were like, come on, the train's pulling back into the station. We got to get.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, it's like I said, it's been a pleasure working with you, Robert, over the years. And, it was a great message. That was a great message.
Pleasure working with you. You too, Mike. Well, and Jill, pleasure working with you, Jill. I hope to work with you more. That's it.
Okay, Robert, you can work with me more. Okay.
Thank you, Jill.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. He's earned his keep for another show, I guess.
Huh? I have.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have more shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I ordered 100.
This is the funnest job ever. Yeah. So I hope to do it till I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
When you're dead, we're not going to walk you through the train.
Well, no. No, of course not. I weigh quite a lot, so it would be hard.
We'll carry your picture.
Yeah,
that's good. That'll work.
Robert would have been here, but he actually died.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll keep an urn with your picture on it. We'll call it X Robert.
Thank you.
Like that.
I will be an ex-Robert. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Robert, for joining us tonight.
Sure.
So next up, we have Kendra. Kendra is, again, another one of our murder mystery actresses. And so there she is. There she is. And one of Baltimore's fabulous Huns.
Hi, everybody. Happy birthday, Jill. I love you to pieces. I love you. You are such a dear. I don't even remember when I met you. It's been several years now. And
it has.
You've been a mentor for me as far as the murder mysteries go. I'm a mentor for so many, I'm sure, but for me. Mm-hmm. And I have learned a lot from you, like Robert said. I've learned a lot and I'm looking forward to learning more. And not only have I learned from you as an actor, but you're also, I've learned from you as a friend. I've watched your relationship with your husband, may he rest in peace, and, how you treat your friends. And I'm honored to be considered a friend. So I just love you. I adore you. And I wish you the very happiest 80th birthday. You're just amazing.
Thank you, love.
I love you.
I love you too.
That's a wonderful message, Kendra. And, you know, I agree with you because, I mean, here I am, you know, being in this business maybe for 15 years now, being a local band guy and, you know, coming into this, you know, kind of getting tossed into the deep end. I really agree with what you were saying about Jill's mentorship to all of us, especially getting into this particular genre of acting, you know, with, you know, heavily improvisational as well as, you being able to think on your feet and everything. That was a really great point that you brought up about her being such a wonderful mentor as well as a good friend too.
Yeah. Thanks, Jill.
Nope, I think you're muted.
Wanted to say it's just because I'm bossy. I want to make sure things. No. Sometimes people, and I'm guilty of it too. You can't see what you're doing yourself. Sometimes you need somebody to let you know that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I need to cut my bangs before I know. There isn't time.
If you feel that it's time, then it's time. Yep.
I know, but there is no time.
Oh, I have scissors. Would you like me to stop by?
No.
Thank you. I have my own hair. What do you mean? All right.
No.
No. She'll either cut it for you or she'll get a big old can of Aquanet and you'll be 6 inches taller.
I'm just afraid what color it would be.
I don't know. I think you'd look good with pink tips.
I'll try to hold my lady between now and.
But I do. I will share the purple with you.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Kendra. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Michelle.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can see you and hear you. There she is. Good. Michelle Mullins, everybody. Michelle is another one of our regulars in Murder Mystery and joined us a couple of years ago. So welcome.
Thank you. I want to wish you a happy birthday, Jill. And
thank you.
Touching on the mentorship, I also would like to add that you're just fun. It's fun to see you bringing out your characters and it's fun working with you. And I love you. And I want to wish you a very happy 80th birthday and many more, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think she really puts the cool in the cool table.
She does. She is the cool in the cool table. Yeah, you.
That's right.
And when you say funny, Michelle, she is so funny. So funny. Doing scenes with her, it is so hard to keep a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to stand back when I'm not in a scene and watch everyone's reaction because they adore you, Jill. Everyone adores you. You are so funny.
There was a redheaded woman that didn't like me one night. She was really.
I mean, maybe that's because of your thing about rubbing redheads' hair.
Yeah. No. It had nothing to do with it. Her family brought her to a murder mystery and she didn't want to be someplace where people were going to die. She wanted to go where people were happy and it was a loving thing. And somebody invited her to a murder mystery and she was not happy. And she was a redhead. So of course she drew my attention, but I didn't touch her.
No. You do have a thing for those redheads. You're hunting them on the Polar Express or any gig we're on.
I don't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Something that happened one afternoon and I had a show and I've used it since then. So, yeah.
Most definitely. Well, thank you, Michelle. Those were some very nice thoughts. We appreciate you joining us tonight too. And so our next person, Rika. Rika, you are also, you've performed with us in Polar Express for the last few years. And you are also in the murder mystery business, albeit not with the Foul Players or JR Entertainment. So welcome, Rika.
That's good to be here. Happy birthday, Jill.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Was I there for your birthday recently?
Yes, because I had my birthday on Polar Express. So you were there for that.
I thought that the crying was a little excessive, however, but otherwise it was fun.
Jill.
I know. I lie too.
Yeah. I mean, but you being who you are is just why we love you. I mean, I know, you know, my partner Christian and I are a little bit on the introverted side, not so great with starting conversations with people, but you just make it so easy. You just started right in the most loving way, giving a shit.
Yes.
And we adore you for it.
And you brought me potatoes.
Yep.
I scared you guys into it to bring me a potato.
Yep. I don't even remember how that started with you extorting Christian for a potato. Did Christian eat a potato that you brought?
I just turned to him and said,
I thought I lived
locally and could get to a grocery store, and the only thing I could eat if I could heat it up in the microwave was a potato. And so I told him to bring me a potato, and he looked at me in the most peculiar way. A couple of days later, he brought me some potatoes.
Christian just went and grabbed you a whole bag of them.
Put them in the microwave and heated them up and ate the potato. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've been very welcoming, and just, it's very easy to get to know you and to really fall in love with you, Jill. We love you.
Thank you so much. You guys are so sweet. Yeah.
Oh, so are you in your own special way. I always laughed at, you know, the elf routine you did on the Polar Express, because the railroad company would kind of roll their eyes a bit, but it was movie accurate. Like the whole Polar Express
experience. Yeah, they let me come back.
You got the grumpy elf down so good.
I enjoyed being an elf. A lady can attest to it. It's kind of fun. You get to, yeah, get to be somebody different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been a pleasure finding you two and seeing you.
And an absolute blessing working with you, Jill.
Thank
you
very much, Rika. That was a very nice birthday wish for Jill. And I must say too that I think that you and Christian have been an absolute pleasure to work with. With Polar, and I got to tell you, I've never seen anybody own that tray of hot chocolate like you.
Oh, thank you.
I tell you, she's got 40 hot chocolates in a tray, and she's doing high kicks up and down the aisle, not spilling a drop. And I got to tell you, that's ownership right there if I've ever seen it. So again, Rika, thank you so much for joining us tonight and joining us to wish Jill, happy 80th birthday.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And happy birthday from Christian as well. Unfortunately, they had to work tonight, so they couldn't be here, but they send love and many potatoes.
Thank you. I'll eat one in his honor.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, thank you again, Rika. Our next foul player and JR Entertainment member to join us tonight is Elaney. Elaney Densmore is here tonight, Jill. And so have at it, Elaney.
Happy, 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 happy birthday, Jill. I miss you.
Happy birthday.
I'm babysitting. You really? Hear that in the background.
No surprise there.
No, that's right. But I met you several years ago. You came to my home and interviewed me and gave me such wonderful tips on the show that we were going to be doing. And it's been wonderful ever since. You've been so helpful and so encouraging and so knowledgeable. And I just can't, I don't want to be, I don't want to do a show without you.
Wow. I'll be working.
I enjoy you so much. It's such a fun time driving up and to the places we go to, coming back. It's all great. It's wonderful. So happy, happy, happy birthday, Jill.
Thank you.
And another little happy birthday from this little one.
Well, hello.
You say hi?
Do you say hi, Eliana? You say hi. There you go. Say hi.
Give Grandma a kiss.
No, she's gone. Attention span, you know.
The attention span of a 3-year-old.
I love you too. Happy birthday. And thank you so much for your mentorship, your friendship, and everything, and how to do these shows and keeping me on track. I love it. Thank you so much for all everything.
Good. I'm glad nobody says I beat them up.
I forgot never, that part. Yeah, never. She beat me up a few times.
We go down the aisle.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Love your driving. All right. Happy birthday, Jill.
Thank you, dear.
And many, 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 many more.
I'm already 80. How old do I have to get?
Oh, at least over 100. You have to reach that. Yeah. Keep going strong. You're too strong. You're very strong. Good, good, good. Good health. Keep it up.
Well, thank you, Eleni, for your, those are just some very nice wishes too. And some, and just a wonderful statement. And we have Karen Lucas with us tonight too. Another one who's been with our group for a long time, you know, going back to the Otter days and then to the great split to JR. But yeah, we're all still, you know, together and working together and everything too. So welcome, Karen.
Well, thanks. Jill, I just want to wish you, number one, a happy birthday. I've known you for many years now. Like I said, through the Otter days and the beginnings, and
you were on the Black Eyed Susan too.
Yes, we've been on trains and we've been on boats, and we've been in little churches in the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere and Lincolnstown, Pennsylvania. So we've had lots of fun little places that we worked together. You truly are a great friend. I've enjoyed so many times with you and Rick, God rest his soul, and we had some fun times together. And my mentor, like everybody said, I mean, I just I admire you and how much you have shown and taught me how to grow and be an improvisationalist, because I never did it before I met you guys. So really worked with me, and I learned from the best, I have to say. Some of our scenes, well, of course, you're my favorite sumo wrestling partner.
Yeah, if we can squeeze it in, we put it in there.
We squeeze it in somewhere. And we have had, you know, we have had some great scenes together. I've learned your rhythm, and I can set you up because I know you're going to end it with just a bang. So I am really looking forward to many more of those scenes together. Yeah. And I am really blessed to have you as a friend. And so I wish you a really the best and a happy birthday.
Thank you. You guys are so nice. You're saying such nice things about me. At least Mike didn't invite anybody that's going to say something mean about me.
Oh, well, you know, like I said, this but is...
Those people who are mean to me just don't last.
You know, Jill, you just know how to yell at people in a nice way. So everybody loves you.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Well, that's... The one ability that I think, you know, Jill has, that you know, Robert and, you know, a couple of us had mentioned before, it reminds me a lot of the Carol Burnett show when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman would be out there. Jill, you just have a way of just bringing out the Harvey Korman in all of us by, you know, we're trying to get through a scene and then you just come up with something and we just can't stop laughing.
You guys have set me off a few times too. I have to turn my back to the audience, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've gotten me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just been a great experience, you know, getting to know you over the years and having these opportunities to work, you know, these fun venues. And you know, we use the word work, but don't they say, you know, if you find something you love doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And this is something that I think we all love doing. And you know, we've been able to keep doing it, you know, through, you know, a lot of it, you know, has been, you know, your leadership and, you know, keeping us in there and, you know, steering us in the right direction. And it's just been a wonderful experience, you know, knowing you and performing with you all these years. And I think, you know, everybody else's sentiments reflect that as well.
Wow. You guys are making me. Yeah. Wow. Make me feel good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, you deserve to feel good, Jill.
Yeah.
I don't have many people to talk to about the acting anymore, unless I seek you all out because of, I don't have fan here. Daughters gave me a birthday party on Friday and said I could invite a few people, which I did invite a few people. And then my daughter said to me, Mom, we were at Petrucci's in Bel Air. She said, you have to go to Bacco's. I think that's the name of the Italian restaurant. And I had my little old lady neighbor, she's be 90 in September, with me. And I said, she said, there's a surprise. Go over there. And I said to her, we're driving over there. I said, what could it be? I said, maybe she's ordered us up some special gooey chocolatey, you know, dessert or something. And we're going to go there and eat it. And wouldn't that be fun? And we went in and I tried to explain to the woman why I was there and what was the name of the reservation. And I didn't know. And finally, my neighbor said, it's her 80th birthday. So from the bar side of the room comes this voice, Dan Franco, and six people from Actors Club had driven in from Frederick and Gaithersburg and
wow,
all came and were there at the other venue to wish me happy birthday.
So yay, Actors Club. That was it. That's it.
That
was
really
nice. I was going to say, I want to join it with you.
Well, it's simple. If you go to something that says Actors Club and it looks like it's a cake of soap, that's them, and say that you want to join when it starts up again and blah, blah, blah. And they'll let you. Yeah. I guess.
You know, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Jill, again, you know, happy our best wishes to you for your 80th birthday. And
this is wonderful.
Do you want to tell us, I guess, there aren't any dates on the board yet for Middletown, Hummelstown, and
Middletown, the Pride. Hummelstown threatened to start and do a couple in the spring this year instead of waiting till the fall. But I haven't heard from anybody yet.
Okay. So I guess when your shows come up, when you start getting some dates that are written in stone, what's the name of your website?
Oh, I'm not sure it's working.
Oh, okay.
And I put it all on bought these new calendars because I always sent out these calendars that said Coldwell Banker and I just can't do real estate anymore. So I bought some that say JR Entertainment and I don't think the website on there works.
Okay.
But I do have another Facebook page, which is Jill Redding, JR Entertainment. So I do have another Facebook page.
So, everybody, we've had a great night with, a number of our ensemble actors and folks that we've worked with in Murder Mystery and Polar Express and everything. We've had, you know, Kendra, Elaney, Karen, Rika, Robert, our birthday girl, Jill, Michelle, and myself, Michael Spedden here. So, again, happy birthday, Jill. It was, great to get everybody together and have a little party here, a little virtual party online.
Thank you.
We'll keep our eyes open for JR Entertainment. You can also, folks, go to the website for Pride of the Susquehanna, as well as M&H Railroad to find the upcoming dates for Murder Mysteries. And if you don't see anything there right away, you know, keep checking back, because they, you know, definitely will. And so what, any final words for everybody before we wrap up?
Thank you all for wishing me a happy birthday and for being sympathetic towards my recent loss. And I really appreciate every single one of you. And thank you so much for, well, hi, little one. Thank you so much for coming to wish me a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Jill.
We love you so much.
Louder.
Happy birthday, Jill. We love you.
Thanks for everything.
Good job.
A talented lot we have here. So, folks, again, this was Jill Redding's 80th birthday episode here on Foul Players Radio. You can find us again at www.foulplayersradio.com and also on YouTube at Foul Players Radio. And if you watch this episode on YouTube, you'll definitely see I have the face for radio that everybody envies out there. So if that's a little much for you, just switch over to the audio version on foulplayersradio.com. And we will see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening.